an ever-changing world with always changing lives, Life Changes Network presents a voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with unforgettable, ever-insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys. As we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves, the I am, and the world in which we live, always remembering Life Changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with tonight's special guest, author, public speaker, social innovator, and president of the Foundation for Conscious Evolution, Barbara Marks Hubbard. And now your host, Filippo Voltaggio.
Thank you, Mark. And ciao, everyone. I'm excited about having Barbara Marks Hubbard on our show today. I haven't had the pleasure of meeting her. I know our producer Mark has, but I have heard her speak all over YouTube and read some of her writings, and it's a pleasure to have her on tonight. You know, it's interesting. There's so much going on in the world, and this is a perfect time because there's a movie coming out, actually, that we're going to be talking to Barbara about because she's in the movie. It's called Thrive. It's going to be premiering on 11/11/11. It makes some suggestions in the movie as to what we could do to help make the world a better place and help make it a better place to live in and all that good stuff. And so we're going to be talking to Barbara about that. But as we're looking at some of the things that are happening in the world, I was reminded of a story that I wasn't very interested in when I first heard it. A friend of mine was telling me this story, and I could just tell it was going to be one of these stories that my friend was very passionate about and that he and I were going to get into an argument about because I did not have the same kind of passion. And the story was about a Canadian family-owned amusement park, as I recall it. Again, I wasn't that interested in the story. But it was a family Canadian-owned amusement park in Canada somewhere, I think in Montreal. And the story goes that it was a place where the families used to get together, or families, and especially the French immigrants and the Italian immigrants. They used to go like on Sundays and Saturdays, and they'd have their picnics, and they would bring their food, and they'd have these elaborate, you know, as Italians can do, this wonderful food and wine and whatever it is that they would do, and then they would go and they would amuse themselves at the amusement park. So that was, it became a tradition, and generation after generation or something like that, they would do this every Saturday, every Sunday, whatever, for, I guess, during the summer months. But in any event, a corporation came along and bought out this family-owned amusement park. So what happened? Immediately, the corporation changed the pricing, made the prices a lot more expensive to get into. It also changed the food policy, where no one was allowed to bring any more of their own food in. They had to buy the hot dogs and hamburgers or whatever it was that the corporation had there for the customers. And, of course, they would be at expensive prices. So what happened? Well, what happened was that the people would not stand for it. So right away, they started to revolt. And they boycotted, they picketed, they didn't go, and they stood outside of it and complained and yada, yada, yada. And this is around the time that I really lost interest in the story at the time, because I thought, you know what? The corporation has a right to do what the corporation wants to do. And so these people, if they don't like it, they can go start their own amusement park somewhere else or something, which of course is easier said than done. And after all, this was a tradition for them, and it was something that they liked doing. This was their way of life. And a corporation came around and changed their way of life for its own personal gain. And they would not have it. And so the corporation didn't leave. They had to change their policy. Now, this is, from what I remember, a corporation that owns many amusement parks throughout the world, I think, and a lot of them in America for sure. In Canada, at this particular park, they had to change their policy. and allow food. And I think they lowered their entrance price all because of the people. And that's what the people wanted. Now, they didn't change their policy throughout North America because we Americans, we either don't care or we allow this kind of thing to disrupt our way of life. Or maybe we don't have a set way of life, so if somebody tramples on it, we might not even know it as a culture. But regardless, the corporation changed. So it's interesting because I'm thinking of another big corporation. And you all know this corporation. But what you might not know, and maybe I know this because I was born in America, and I was born Italian-American, but I knew growing up of a man named Amadeo Giannini, maybe because I also grew up in a neighboring city. But Amadeo Giannini was an immigrant, and I'm sorry, I'm reading texts as they're coming in and talking at the same time. But so real quickly about Amadeo Giannini. He started a bank. That's what he did. He started a bank, and he saw that banks were for the benefit of the wealthy. And so he thought, okay, so why don't, as I understand the story, why don't I start a bank for the immigrants? Of course, his parents were immigrants. He was an Italian. His parents were Italian immigrants. He was born in the United States, and he saw an opportunity to help the immigrant population in his area. And so he started a bank. And this is how I understand it. Now, he started a bank for the hardworking immigrants, and he also offered for the customers savings accounts and loans, but he didn't judge them on how much money they had. He judged them, as the story goes, on their character. And as a matter of fact, in this city, which was San Francisco, there was a huge earthquake and then many fires, as you all know the story. What was it, 1907 or something like that? It was a little later than that. But the point of the story is during the earthquakes, when the other banks couldn't make loans because the money was in vaults that were heated because of the fire, for several weeks they couldn't open up the vaults. Giannini, who had taken the money out of the city because he expected something like this to happen, was able to make loans. And the loans were made, supposedly, according to the story, on handshakes. And years later, Giannini would recount that each one of the loans was repaid. These loans that were made on two barrels and a plank, supposedly, in the middle of the street because there was no place to do it because of the earthquake and all that, on handshakes, were all repaid. Now, you might know where I'm going with this. Where I'm going with this is that Giannini, who started this bank, which was called Bank of Italy, later, 20 years later, decided to join forces with Bank of America, Los Angeles. And Giannini became the chairman of the merged banks, the Bank of Italy, which he had owned outright, and the Bank of America, Los Angeles, became the Bank of America, and Giannini became the chairman of the entire Bank of America bank. Now, this is a man who supposedly started a bank for the hardworking immigrants and who made loans on a handshake to these people based on their character. So now, years later, Bank of America is this corporation, like the corporation I was talking about at the beginning of the story in Canada, that trampled on people's right to live the way they wanted to live. And the people said no. Now, when I heard that story about the Canadians, I told my friend the corporation had a right to do what it wanted to do. and that the people had no right to tell the corporation what to do. Then the friend of mine said, you have such an American mentality. And I thought, what does that mean exactly? And at the time, I didn't give it much thought. Well, whatever it meant at the time, that American mentality, or maybe it's a world mentality for some of us, is changing. And now it's not about telling a corporation we want to be able to bring food into an amusement park. It's about something like telling the Bank of America that charging $5 a month for transaction fees on a debit card is just not right. Now, who would have thought in America Americans would do that? And who would have thought a corporation like Bank of America would listen? Now, knowing the story of Amadeo Giannini and the Bank of Italy and how the Bank of America supposedly started, one would think this kind of policy wouldn't have been put into place. But regardless of how it started, now something else has started. And we're having a different conversation. And this is the conversation that I'm looking forward to continuing with our guest, Barbara Marx Hubbard, when we come back right after this.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb and rob minerals from the body. IonWays ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWays ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. And ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWays Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWays Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
We're back. I am Filippo, and this is Life Changes with Filippo. And today our guest has been, she's been a lot, and she is a lot, and she's going to be a lot more. I just know it. Buckminster, Mr. Fuller spoke about our guest as the best informed human now alive regarding futurism and the foresights it has produced. Through her books, DVDs, educational programs, TV appearances, interviews, and speaking engagements, her message continues to bring answers and comfort to global audiences seeking answers to today's most pressing issues. She is currently the producer and narrator of an award-winning ongoing DVD series entitled Humanity Ascending, A New Way Through Together. In 1990, she co-founded the Foundation for Conscious Evolution, through which she developed the Gateway to Conscious Evolution, a global educational curriculum enrolling participants in the development path toward the next stage of human evolution. And you may remember that in 1984, her name was placed in the nomination for the Vice Presidency of the United States on the Democratic ticket, calling for a peace room, as sophisticated as our war room, to scan for, map, connect, and communicate what is working in America and what is working in the world. She is an author, public speaker, social innovator, and president of the Foundation for Conscious Evolution. Please welcome, and we are honored to have Barbara Marx Hubbard on the show. Welcome.
Hello there.
I'm sorry?
But I can't see you, but I'm on my Skype.
Oh, I feel you, though.
Oh, good.
and I've been feeling you actually for quite a while since you've come onto my personal radar. And you are on the radar of so many people and all over the world. And there is something that is going to even put you more on the radar, and that's this movie coming out called Thrive on 11/11/11. And why don't we start with that, Barbara? What can you tell us about this movie?
Well, the movie was made by two dear friends of mine, Foster Gamble and Kimberly Gamble, and it's a powerful effort to give us the pattern and design of how the universe works, of showing us what the problems are that prevent us from thriving, and then giving us a head start on the solutions of how to thrive as the human race. And basically, Foster said, in order to find out what's really the problem, you have to follow the money. Mm. And if you follow the money, you find that there is a control system of wealth. And the monetary system itself is designed for increased scarcity and power of few over many. And it's so interesting, as this movie is coming out, and it does show many wonderful people who are showing the positive solutions, but the timing of the movie coming out with the Occupy Wall Street in the same month, you know, is perfect, because it gives a rationale for what the Occupy Wall Street is suggesting needs to be done, as well as what the problems are and some of the solutions. So in that sense, I think it's going to be extremely timely and useful for the whole movement, which I think of as a movement for the evolution of democracy and the evolution of our of monetary democracy, which may be at the most fundamental level of all of it.
Well, Barbara, actually, everything you're saying is poignant and interesting, but it's even more so when you're saying it comes from Foster Gamble. And for people who don't know, could you share a little bit about who he is?
Well, he is one of the inheritors of the Procter & Gamble fortune.
Right.
He is a great student of cosmology. He's an Aikido master. He's Tai Chi. He's strong. I've worked with him for several years on the idea of how we can make the shift together. That is to say, what is the pattern, whatever the existing problems are of concentrated wealth and power, the even deeper question, because there's always been concentrated wealth, concentrated power since we've had human civilization. The really deeper question is, how do the vast number of people on Earth make the shift together? And I believe that Foster has this in his profound soul and nature to make a major contribution to that critical question.
Mm. Well, we're actually going to have him on the show in a couple of weeks, and we're looking forward to that. Now, thankfully, because of the film, we were able to connect with you, because you are so busy traveling throughout the world and doing these wonderful things. You're putting out messages, you're putting out DVDs, you're doing the public speaking, and you also have a couple books coming out that I look forward to talking about in a little bit here. But what is the main message? It's in what you just described about Thrive, I know. But you have other messages that you also put out yourself. What would you say were the main ones?
If I had to put it in a single sentence, I think my message is that our crisis is potentially the birth of a co-evolving, co-creative humanity. When you look at evolution, you see crisis precedes transformation for billions of years. You see problems are evolutionary drivers. Humanity has been given a collective problem that could destroy our life support system. That's more than a personal or a social problem. It's an evolutionary problem. And so it's being given an evolutionary opportunity to move through that crisis. And the way we move through it is by releasing the potential of individuals, connecting to co-create based on the idea that what's the crises are really fostering what's emergent in every one of us, that crisis is a birth, is your own personal crises as well as the social crises, and that we are in some way the most fortunate generation in the history of humanity, because we're awake to the fact that we could destroy our own life support system by our own behavior, but we could also transform it. And so my message basically is the advent of conscious evolution.
You know, I like that word fortunate, that we are fortunate. However, so many of us aren't feeling that fortunate right now with all that is going on.
Well, so many of us are not fortunate right now, but the only hope that we can give to ourselves is to realize that every one of us somehow is embodying the greater creativity that's within us. And what is the solution? Part of it is social reform. Part of it is changing the monetary system. Part of it is the evolution of democracy to be more participatory. But then when it comes right down to the individual, I think it's a generation of social pioneers. It's not easy necessarily to pioneer a system. But when you think of, let's say, the founders of this country and the millions of people who found their way to cross the seas and then cross this continent, that pioneering spirit has been on the physical level, it's been on the scientific level, it's been on the, you might say, the artistic level, and I really think now it's on the social level. And I believe that the key is social synergy, social joining together to create, and that everybody, no matter what their state, is called to find that creativity and reach out as to what attracts. If you're out of a job, if you're sick, if you're in prison, if you're in the worst stage of deficit need, deficiency needs, then that's the place where the greatest courage is needed. But those of us who are not starving or in prison or captured by a dictatorship, we are the ones that have the greatest opportunity and greatest responsibility, very much like John F. Kennedy said, you know, to those whom much is given, much is required. So those who have the freedom, like ourselves, like Foster Gamble, to step forward and say, I take responsibility to find out what's wrong here and do something about it with my inheritance. My father was Lewis Marks. He was known as the toy king of the world. Marx Toys was his baby, and he was born as a poor Jewish boy in New York City in Brooklyn. And he was one of those Americans in those days that was actually imbued with the idea that anyone who worked hard enough could do anything. And as a child, we didn't have any religion, but when I asked him what religion we were, he said, "You're an American, do your best." And I'm speaking now not just to people in the United States, but anyone anywhere in the world in that sense has a religion to identify that creativity and give it forward. So for whatever stage one is in, if it's a very dire deficiency needs, that's one thing. But if you have some freedom, some desire and opportunity to be educated and to express, then your key is to find out what is that impulse of creativity within you? What is that calling? And then say yes to it and take the steps to find out how to do it by joining with others. That's the key.
You know, Barbara, well, you know, but I don't know if everybody listening knows it, but you are a fine example of this because I don't know if you talk about how old you are. I actually don't even know, but you are in the years of your life that people would think that you could just stay home and you have your children and your grandchildren and enjoy your life in however you choose to do it. Instead, you are out traveling the world, spending as many hours as you can in front of the public sharing this message.
Well, it's so true. You know, I'm 81.
Wow. Okay, there you go.
I'm 81. And this is a really interesting thing about, I will speak from the point of view of a woman, because I was born in 1929. I got married in 1951, before most of the people listening were born. I had five children, and I was part of that generation of the 50s where we were told our main task was to have babies, take care of our husbands, and keep house. And even though I went to Bryn Mawr and wanted to go get a job in Washington, I bought into that cultural story completely. And it wasn't until I had severe depression in my, just about my fourth or fifth child, in which it was considered neurotic, believe it or not, for a woman to want something more. It's hard to believe these cultural shifts. And I read Betty Friedan. I found out, you know, thousands of women felt this way. And then I discovered Abraham Maslow, who said every healthy, self-actualizing person has one thing in common: chosen work we find intrinsically self-rewarding and a benefit to at least one other person. So in other words, we're hardwired to find out what that impulse of expression is in each of us. And as a woman, when I began to discover what my particular expression could be, I would say a communicator of evolutionary potential, through a whole series of wonderful experiences, including meeting Abraham Maslow, meeting Buckminster Fuller, meeting many other great people, is I began to actualize my inner potential. And the thing about that for anyone is that when you do it, there is an experience of energy, of creativity, of joy, and you begin to shift from the desire for self-preservation and just self-reproduction to the desire for self-evolution. And the way you evolve is by joining your genius with others, by co-creating. And I found the opportunity to co-create with a variety of people. And I tell you, the energy keeps growing. And I sometimes wake up in the morning and I do ask myself, what got into you, Barbara? And I have a word for it. And the word is regenopause. After menopause, the woman has no more eggs. And she, in the old sort of life cycle, would consider herself sort of no longer beautiful, aging, and gradually less and less important in the world. But what's actually happening is that women at any age, but particularly those over 50, 60, 70, 80, like myself, are gaining in vitality, are gaining in spirituality, are longing to give their creative expression into the world. And this kind of woman, I call it a feminine co-creator, is imbued by the creative force within. And she wants to express it, and it's in a way like giving birth to a child, because you fall in love with the unknown child as a mother. And then no matter how painful, no matter how challenging, there's innate love and hope for that unborn child. And it feels to me as a woman, and many thousands of women I've worked with and know, that there's a feeling of love for the unborn future. And it's a mess. But then, you know, so is the newborn. I think of us as a newborn planetary species, that we have almost no experience at coordinating a system at a planetary level. We have no experience of high-tech, overpopulating, polluting species shifting. So Foster's movie and the Thrive movie comes right in there in that question. How do we make the shift from a dominator top-down structure, mainly a problem in the monetary system now, but certainly in the political system supported by the monetary system, is how do we as masses of humanity rise up to express our creativity? And I think the importance of the Thrive movie is they have a huge website with solutions and ways you can get involved. And they've done a fabulous job of orchestrating this movie so that I think millions of people are going to know about it. And it may be one of those factors that can make a real difference in the world. And what I'm saying requires these larger shifts. And I don't mean that individuals can just rise up easily. But look at the effectiveness of the Occupy movement.
Right.
I had a friend the other day was telling me that he went on a vacation, and it was an 18-day vacation. And when he left, he thought nothing much was happening. When he came back, 18 days later, he looked at the news and he saw this map, and there were Occupy movements
right.
in every country of the world, including Moscow.
Right.
And he said, "What happened?" Now, here's really the interesting thing, is because of the new media, social media, and particularly cell phones, iPhones, mobile phones, suddenly we have been able to communicate directly outside of all the big structures.
Right.
And if there's anything really new right now, it's that, and how the people are using it in the Arab Spring, in the United States, in the world. And, you know, from an evolutionary point of view, there's the concept of Teilhard de Chardin, that we have a biosphere, and then we had humans who created language, who created intelligent systems, and now we have the noosphere, or mind sphere.
Mm.
We're talking over that right now.
Mm.
I'm sitting here in my little office looking at a computer. I mean, staring at a blank computer because I'm trying to imagine that you're there.
No, I'm here.
And you're so lively. Like it's. But where? How is this happening? We're in the sphere of connectivity of the mind sphere or the internet communication sphere. And I really believe that that connectivity is as natural as the fact that nature formed multicellular organisms and animals and humans, and now co-creative humans, and humans are creating a global intelligence heart system that mm-hmm. transcends all existing structures.
Wow, Barbara, you're taking us so many different wonderful places, and I'm following, and I'm sure everybody listening is as well. And if you want to learn more about the movie that Barbara's been talking about, it's you'll learn it at thrivemovement.com. It's thrivemovement.com. We'll be back with a little bit more Barbara when we come back right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
Greetings, humans. On this day of 11-11-11, Dream Shield Planetary Meditations has created the Ascension Convention. To celebrate humanity as you ascend from an ego-based existence into living from your hearts. All star beings are here to support you during this epic transformation. Remember that you are safe and you are loved. And we are here to support you on this cosmically blessed date of 11-11-11. Go to dreamshield.org. for more information and your admission to the Ascension Convention. That's dreamshield.org. ETs get in for free. Namaste.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
Well, we're back. I'm Filippo Voltaggio, and I have the pleasure and the privilege, I might add, of speaking with Barbara Marx Hubbard. And we've been talking about the movie Thrive that she is in and she is part of. the movement, actually, as well. So if you want to learn more about that after hearing this, go to thrivemovement.com, and you can learn how you too can host or go see an event on 11-11-11, or after that, be able to have the DVD for yourself and share with all your friends, we hope and trust. Because I understand, I haven't seen it myself, but our producer Dorothy has and our producer Mark has, and they've said that it's very much worthwhile. And Barbara, thank you for joining us this evening to have this conversation, not only about that, but I'd like to touch on something that you touched on before that I think is very important. A lot of people say that this shift in consciousness, or this shift in the way we think about things, is not intuitive, and it's difficult. Well, how perfect is it how you shared earlier, Barbara, that you came from a generation that was told women that they were neurotic if they wanted to do something that brought them passion other than have children and stay at home and be homemakers. And you were able to not only shift that for yourself, but as other women help each other shift. And now you're talking about a whole other shift. So how perfect is it that you're doing this?
Isn't it wonderful? I really feel for anyone that the deepest advice I could give, beyond your basic needs and that importance, but even before that, is to find out that passion, that life purpose, that inner calling and creativity in you, no matter how it shows up, and say yes. See, what I did when I was the housewife in Lakeville with children that I really loved, so it wasn't that there was anything wrong that on the outside, and that was interesting to me, because there's a lot of talk that if I could only get to a certain degree of stability, if I could only have a clean house, if I could only have clean air, I actually had the privilege and the challenge of living in a comfortable life. Mm. And here's what I learned about a comfortable life. If you're not realizing your deeper potential, you will not be comfortable. Mm. And that is the greatness of the human species. That may not be true of another type of species, but with the humans, as long as happiness comes, the flow state comes from having a challenge and reaching toward it. And that feeling of exercising creativity and potentiality is what I discovered to be the source of happiness. Mm. You know, I was feeling guilty for not being happy because I realized I was given so much by the fact that my father had been successful. And he gave me a lot. But the result of having been given a life of relative comfort, not that it was so huge, but it was enough. And I could see that that was only the very beginning of this powerful, passionate discontent. And instead of the discontent being a negative, I saw it was a positive. Hmm. And the positive aspect of the human nature is our creative potential. And for 99% of it, it's barely tapped. And, you know, we're working together with on the Shift Network for what we're calling Birth 2012. Celebrating the planetary shift together. And what that would be is a massive uprising of creativity, of connecting what's working, of celebrating what's emerging, of noticing the good works that are going on, so we could begin to see the world that's arising in our midst. Because I think once you get a sense of hope and direction that is native to evolution itself, which is when you hit a crisis, it transcends and includes and becomes more creative. When you see you're part of a vast direction of evolution itself, you get encouraged, you get hopeful. And I think the world view that anybody has is subtle, but it's extremely important. Because if you think that human life is failing and we're not going to make it and there's not much you can do about it, you see, what would be your motivation? Mm. If you see I'm part of a planetary shift where there's a huge bit of potential here in me that can contribute to that shift, if I connect with others and become a pioneer, become courageous, so that it actually empowers people to realize their potential. And that's, I think, the Thrive movie does, by showing us the nature of the universe, showing us where the problems are, where the potentials are, encouraging everyone to participate. And in my own work, that Birth 2012 is my way of continuing what the Thrive movie is starting, is to move towards our creative potential together. And that's what I think is happening here.
Barbara, what was that website again?
The website my website is evolve.org.
Evolve.org, right.
See everything on that.
Right, and your books are there as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know I have inside information on two books that you are writing that sound absolutely fascinating. Are you able to give the audience any insight on them as well?
Yes. Well, one of the books that it's coming out again is called Emergence, The Shift from Ego to Essence.
Mm-hmm.
That is really a personal journey of shifting our identity from the separated local self that is attempting to accomplish things, to get things done, and feel stressed and exhausted, to the essential self, which is the essence of our nature, our true nature, the impulse of evolution embodied as you. And when you shift that identity, there's a sense of wholeness, peace, oneness, and actual wisdom. And so the process is shifting identity and then educating all the local selves, all the egoic selves. And that's a wonderful book. And the other one I'm working on now is called Birth 2012, Co-Creating the Planetary Shift. And that book is about how to participate in conscious evolution now.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Barbara.
The most important immediate thing I'm doing is an agent of conscious evolution training. That's a 12-week course. It's starting on November 8th, but people can actually find it on evolve.org. You'll see where it is, because it's on the Shift Network, and it's my way of inviting people to participate in realizing their own creative potential as part of the planetary shift. So it's both self-evolution and social evolution, inner shift and outer shift together, and working as a global team towards the planetary birth.
Barbara, at this very time, there is somebody who's considered a celebrity who got married and the wedding cost $20 million or something of that nature. And so many people are talking about that. And it's in the papers and the magazines and on TV. Do you think it'll ever shift that we'll be talking about what you and I are talking about at that level?
You know, I do. Because I think that what we're talking about is the rising tide of creativity itself. I think it's where the real heart's desire is in people. And when you think that how young the human species is, basically whales are millions of years old. Self-reflective consciousness is about 50,000 years old at most. And I believe that nature, Mother Nature herself, is evolving a life form in millions of humans that I would call the co-creative life form. It's actually an emerging human. These older types that can generate that publicity, it's basically boring. I mean, compared to what you and I and the Thrive movie, can you imagine how boring that is? And I think it's a sign of species immaturity, to put it sort of gently. But the co-creative human is a sign of species evolution. And for me, the power of attraction is toward the emergence of this co-creative humanity. It's so much more exciting than the other stuff. And I think, I mean, I might say that people who are really excited by that are still in the infantile stage of human development. And so, you know, infants like all kinds of things.
Go on, Barbara. I'm enjoying this.
I do. And I feel that we have to grow up as a species. And going back to the Thrive movie, one of the things that actually makes us grow up is to see the magnificence of the structure of the universe. And of the fact that we probably are in a universe filled with life, including extraterrestrial life, and that we're just about to be born as a co-evolving, co-creative humanity, and that in some deep way we're at the phase of conscious evolution, that it won't happen automatically. It will happen by individual attraction and choice. So this is a very critical time. Mm. And, you know, if you talk to that woman, I forget her name, Kim whatever it's Kim something or other, is, you know, it would be interesting to me to really have a conversation with her.
Right.
It's like Lady Gaga. I don't say that these people are necessarily infantile themselves. They get into a pattern. And there's a lot of creativity there. So... Yes. What I think is really our task is to be the strange attractors. You know, when evolution hits a crisis, the system gets out of equilibrium. We're in a chaos point. And one way the system tries to right itself is by going back. So it goes back to reactive politics or reactive religion or fundamentalisms of various kinds or control system. But the tendency is more towards higher order, more synergistic order, more creativity. Because look at the 14-billion-year trend. From nothing at all, the energy, matter, life, animal life, human life, us having this conversation in the noosphere, do you see a trend there?
Absolutely.
So those of us who are in that trend towards higher consciousness, greater freedom, more complex order, our life is so interesting, is so passionately attractive to us.
Yeah. Well, and I think it would be to many others if they could tap into this. And I was a fan before, Barbara, of you, but I'm now even more so because you bring a very important point and something that's near and dear to our hearts here at the show. But these are exactly the kind of conversations, or as much as they would be able to have them, that we want to have with Kim Kardashian and with Lady Gaga and so many other artists that perhaps are wanting to lead in a certain way, but are being told that people don't like that sort of thing or people aren't interested. And I believe differently. So thank you for.
Right. I think that kind of combination of people of great celebrity genius, because it takes a certain genius to be sure. That famous for nothing.
Barbara.
You have to be really talented.
You're a little older than I am, and you can get away with these kinds of things. And I'm glad you can.
I think Lady Gaga's different. I think she has a real message. I don't know enough about Kim to make a comment on it. But it is interesting to have celebrity status over just being a celebrity. It's really interesting. What is the attractor there that would make that work? And what kind of person is she? And what would really attract her? Mm. See, that would be the interesting question to me with a woman like Kim.
Exactly. And you know what? When I interview her, I'm going to let you know afterwards. I'll call you and say, this is what she said. How's that?
And you say that there's some people who would like to really know what is driving her and what most attracts her and how can she co-create with the rest of us? That would be a lot more interesting.
I like it. And then I'll put the two of you together.
Why don't you?
You know what? I'm putting that as my to-do, and I'm not kidding. And because I, Barbara, am in my regenopause of life. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, that's a word that Barbara has coined. You'll have to listen to the show again to know exactly what that means. And you can do that at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. In the meantime, we are out of time with Barbara, even though the laughter continues, but you can learn more about Barbara at evolve.org. And of course, the movie that she is in, or one of the many that's coming out on 11/11/11, is thrivemovement.com. Barbara, any last words for us?
Oh, well, I think that the word is let's everybody thrive.
I like it. I like it. And I have a feeling you and I are going to get to laugh again very soon. And I look forward to that.
Well, you let me know when Kim gets on.
I will. Thanks, Barbara.
Bye-bye.
Take care. And we'll be back with our producer segment with Mark Legere right after this.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Barbara.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
We're back, and this is our producer's segment with me. I am Filippo,
And this is Mark.
Indeed. And we've been talking to Barbara Marx Hubbard about all kinds of things, including the movie coming out on 11/11/11, which is Thrive. And Mark, I feel like I need to get on a mission, and that is to get Kim Kardashian on the show.
I think that I kind of had a sneaky suspicion you were going to be on that mission.
Maybe not right now. Maybe when the divorce settles and something, you know. But honestly, I like that charge that Barbara has given us.
It's a great charge. That would be a great discussion, no doubt.
You know, and I like what she said. There is a lot of talent there, and you know, actually, I don't know if you've seen this, but this weekend I saw the movie "I Love You, Philip Morris." And that, if you don't know anything about it, this man was absolutely brilliant, Stephen Russell. But he used his brilliance to be a con man. And I think it was just, if he could have just redirected it, you know, he could have been this brilliant man that could have done some amazing things, even more so for himself. And I just wonder if there was like a glitch in his brain that just didn't see it, but brilliance nonetheless.
It's not a glitch in his brain. There's so many of our brightest minds have done it in the confines of a criminal manner or the self-serving manner because of the way that this kind of controlling society that Thrive, the movement, talks about is set up. And so, you know, one or two experiences at a young age, and it sets them on a path of securing wins, but those wins may come outside of the rules that we have set up. And suddenly, when you have that type of an intellect, you know, you've already taken the that turn by the fork in the road, and there you are.
That's interesting. I didn't think of it that way, and he might have gotten his kicks out of stealing from corporations. Kind of that was his way of.
Well, I think of the Catch Me If You Can guy. I can't remember his name now.
Right,
who was I believe forgery, and he was a master, and so much so that eventually he ended up working for the government because right. There was no one better. So you know, ultimately that was it, right? One of the brightest minds in that area. And I guess in that instance, if you can't beat him,
make sure he joins you.
Right. So, in you know, getting back to what Barbara was saying, is that some of these bright minds are being used by corporations, actually, who are making lots of money off of them. And actually, you know what? We know this for a fact. We had a singer on the show who had millions of fans and all over the world, and actually more so now. I'm trying to remember her name. I'm remembering her Skype name, which is not the name that she uses. But she was telling us, I think maybe off the air at first, that she didn't want to be on the show that particular day because she was really down. Because,
Curly.
Yes, Curly. Thank you. She was down because at the recording at the company or whatever the record house. You want to help me with that one too?
This is kind of like $25,000 pyramid.
We would win. But anyways, we are winning. But in any event, she was saying how the lyrics that she wanted to write, they didn't want her to write them, and they didn't want her to record the songs that she wanted to record. So
this is probably not enough time for this in the last of this wrap, but this is a whole different discussion because, yes, absolutely, and Thrive will point to this to an extent. But if you look at it and you look at the handful of artists and how they are picked, when they are branded, and how then that brand and molds, utilizes, commercializes their message, their likeness, and then markets that not only to bring them up to a certain level of awareness, but then apply that awareness back to their own product, thus creating a cyclical momentum of commerce and attachment and adornment. It is what it is. I want to say one thing real quick as a shout out to Barbara Marks Hubbard. If you talk about evolving and shifting, I don't know if there's anyone else on the planet that, like her, is evidence that you can get younger and wiser with age.
I was about to tell her, actually, you are beautiful, Barbara. When she said women start to lose their beauty, she said, and I just wanted to tell her she is beautiful. And those of you who want to see her, a picture of her and Mark, can go to lifechangesnetwork.com. And there you'll see one under Mark's profile, if I'm not mistaken, or in his set of pictures. So we made it, and we did it together, and so happy to have Barbara on today. Thank you, Dorothy Lee Donahue, for getting her on, and Lee Waterworth for helping us get Barbara on today. This has been a very special show, and I thank, again, Dorothy Lee Donahue and Mark Lejeune, our producers, and Seth Hendricks, the engineer on the show, and thank all of you for being part of this world, part of the positive changes we all wish to see in this world, and for being part of the show. I am Filippo Voltaggio saying ciao.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. Change the world. Now's the time. Now's the time.